prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled. From the studio gym where excuses never apply, it's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, hey, welcome back to another episode of Superhuman Radio. I was off the air for a couple days. Did you miss me? Well, I'm back. And this is my 10th day of being completely caffeine-free. This is Decaffeinated Carl. We're going to talk about that on tomorrow's show with Rob Regish. It's been an interesting experiment, and I got to tell you, completely cutting out the caffeine when you're using 800 to 1,000 milligrams a day combined caffeine consumption is not for the faint of heart. I will talk about that tomorrow. You're not going to want to miss that. Of course, we have to thank our title sponsor, All American Pharmaceuticals. You can go to superhumanradio.com to learn more about all of their products. Today's show is going to be a barn burner. We've got a lot of good topics. We're always talking about feeding the world. What about the food waste paradox? We waste so much food. We're going to get to the bottom of that discussion with Gustavo Porpino. Then we're going to switch it up. We're going to talk about the motivational regulations of exercise and how motivation and satisfaction affect our desire to exercise with Dr. Karen Wieman Josephson. And then at the top of the second hour, we're going to be joined by returning guest Dr. Stephanie Seneff to talk about atherosclerosis as a cholesterol sulfate deficiency syndrome. This is something that nobody talks about, but it is a cause that Dr. Seneff has been championing. We kind of touched on it on a previous interview. We're going to get deeper into it on today's show. So we hope you stay with us for the entire 2 hours. If you can't, don't forget to download the podcast and listen to us at your leisure. But let's get started. Gustavo Porpino, welcome to Superhuman Radio. How are you?
I'm great. Good afternoon from Brazil to the Superhuman Radio Network listeners. Great pleasure to speak with you guys this afternoon.
Fantastic. So your discussion today, we're going to talk about the food waste paradox. What questions were you attempting to answer with your research? Let's start there.
Until recently, we thought that household food waste was an issue just in families that could afford to waste food. But given that I was raised in Brazil, I'm Brazilian, and I know that the Latino culture in particular enjoys food abundance, and the low-income context tend to see food as wealth, we realized the opportunity to investigate food waste in the low-income context. So we intended to identify drivers of wasted food among middle-lower-income families.
Now, this is a really important discussion, and I'll tell you why. Here in the United States, there is a large faction within our government that are saying that the reason for obesity is because one of the reasons for obesity, especially within the socioeconomically challenged area, is that because of the lack of money, there is a lack of opportunity to eat good foods. And so this is an interesting angle on this discussion, too, that you looked at this particular group because it doesn't make sense to me that someone who doesn't have a lot of money could be wasting much food, but they are, aren't they?
Yes, they are, because cultural norms are really powerful. They cannot afford to waste food, but at the same time, they see food as wealth. They enjoy big servings due to hospitalities, especially when they invite friends or neighbors to have meals with them. And there's another important aspect, which is the good provider identity. Mothers, they want to make sure that the kids are eating well, so they end up over-serving foods to their kids.
You know, I grew up in an Italian household where on Sundays we would go over to my grandmother's house and we would literally eat from the time we got there till the time we left. My grandmother, at the end of the night, would make a whole chicken, and everybody would sit around the table and pick it apart before we all drove back to our respective neighborhoods. So I understand the feast mentality, and feast is indicative of plenty. And for people who don't have, this is the one opportunity to have, right?
Yeah, so as you are telling me, consumers face the dilemma sometimes in the U.S. culture, in the Brazilian culture. They face the dilemma between wasting food or overeating. Overeating is a huge problem in America. 35% of the U.S. adults are obese, and here in Brazil as well, 51% of the Brazilian population is overweight. So we have to teach families not to overserve, not to overprepare food with more nutritional education initiatives.
What about at the moment of the purchase, when they're walking through the grocery store? We've all heard, don't shop when you're hungry because you're more likely to buy A, too much food, and B, foods that you shouldn't be buying in the first place. Does it begin at the grocery store, or is it solely in the kitchen at the moment of preparation that this phenomenon occurs?
Yeah, it begins in the grocery stores. Every grocery store, I mean supermarkets, they have reading persuaders. The way the food product is priced, the way the food product is positioned, leads consumers to buy what they don't need if they did not plan well, they did not plan in advance the grocery shopping. So before going to the grocery store, consumers have to make sure that they know for sure what's needed. They should prepare a shopping list, write down in a paper, or use, for instance, mobile apps to facilitate the grocery shopping planning.
Okay. How much do we waste as a world or as a nation? How much food that is prepared in homes actually doesn't get consumed? Do you have any idea of that?
According to the last study I read from the Food and Agriculture Organization of the United Nations, it's about 28% of the food Latin American families prepare, they do not eat. And in the U.S., it's even more depending on each consumer segment you are focusing. Higher income families tend to waste more. But even in the low income context, as we realize, food waste is a problem and they tend to waste a great amount of food. The difference between higher income families and lower income families, it's more related to the type of food products that are being wasted, not the quantity itself.
Well, can you elaborate on that? What do you mean? It's more about the type of foods that are wasted, not the quantities.
For instance, here in Brazil, the low-income segment, they enjoy cooking from scratch, which is a good practice. But when families cook more from scratch, they tend to over-prepare more food because they don't plan well the meals. So there are more leftovers and a higher tendency to waste food. I mean, leftovers.
Right, okay.
And in this case, they waste more rice and beans. In the U.S., would be something like mac and cheese, collard greens, or mashed potatoes would be wasted in this sort of families. In other families, they waste more frozen pizzas or, let's say, frozen dinners.
Prepared foods.
Because they perceived, given that the food was already prepared, they perceived that it's not worth it to save the leftovers.
That's an interesting concept, leftovers. So one of the things that we practice at my home with Elisa Profumo, who's on the Friday show with me, is once a week we go through the refrigerator to find things that we know will be going bad soon. And we usually prepare either an omelet with that ingredients or a soup with that ingredients or some sort of a meal, because the objective is not to let it go to waste. But this is not something that is typically done in the average household, I come to find out. In fact, I have friends that will not eat quote-unquote leftovers. They just don't. They just throw them away. Is this common practice to throw leftovers away with the majority of people?
Yes, for sure. Some people, they threw leftovers away because they just forgot the leftovers stored in the back of the fridge. So a simple thing to do is to store the leftover in a visible part of the fridge. But most families, they waste leftovers because they prefer freshness. They perceive leftovers as, how can I say, as used food.
Right.
There is a professor from Pennsylvania State University, Paul Rosen, he says that people have even a prejudice against leftovers. So we have to teach consumers not only to repurpose leftovers in the sense that they need the cooking skills to repurpose leftovers, but also to do campaigns to persuade consumers to eat leftovers, because it's good. It's good for their health, and it's good also for their pockets.
You know, it's when you were saying that, it appears to me that the bias against leftovers is a mentality. It's a social construct. And I think it comes from the same attitude about hand-me-down clothes, wearing someone else. Your sister is older than you, and your mother saves her clothes and gives them to you. You somehow feel slighted or deprived because she got them when they were new, and I got them now that she wants to throw them away. I think we look at leftovers in a similar fashion, like this is what poor people would eat. I'm not poor. I'm not eating leftovers. I want fresh food every single day. You think there's any truth to that?
Yeah, you touched on a very important topic, because in the low-income segment in particular, some consumers don't want to be perceived as poor. So they do not consume leftovers because it's a way for them not being perceived as poor. And second, in a great majority of families, they store leftovers, but this is just a mean of mitigating the guilt associated with wasting food. They store leftovers, but they know they won't eat it in the next day or in 2 or 3 days. Then after 3 or 4 days, when the food is completely spoiled, then they end up throwing it away.
That's a good point. So that mitigates their guilt. It's like, well, we intended to eat it, but we didn't get around to it, and now it's bad. We can't eat it, so let's just throw it away. That's a very, very important distinction. Interesting. So what?
And interesting, families tend to waste more leftovers when the leftover is from a Friday dinner, for instance, than from a Monday or Tuesday dinner, because the weekend is the family gathering atmosphere moment. So people don't want to do a weekend meal based on leftovers.
That's really interesting. What about the food that expires? So food that is perishable. And we've done this ourselves, and I learned a lesson. So we like to make ground turkey, but we like to make it with vegetables and Mexican seasoning, like almost like a taco filling. And the problem is that the ground turkey that we buy is ground fresh from our farmer. And if you put it in the refrigerator, if you don't make it in 3 days, it goes bad. So after throwing away a couple pounds of turkey over time, now we immediately put it in the freezer, even if we intend to make it later that night. Because if something happens and we don't make it that night, then we're not worried about it going bad in the refrigerator. But what about the notion that some foods are perishable and we throw them away before we even can prepare them? Does that happen often?
It happens, and the strategy to avoid it, it's to portion size the food in 2 or 3 smaller containers and to freeze them. So if the families have the ability to plan meals and to store the food appropriately, they will avoid wasting this sort of food.
You see, I freeze everything now, Gustavo, because I've learned my lesson. And it only takes, if you fill up your sink with warm water, you can put a New York strip steak in there, and it's thawed out in 7 minutes. And so now we freeze everything, even if we're going to, unless I'm going to prepare it immediately. I get home and I'm going to cook a dinner. But if I'm buying something now that I'm going to make tonight, I freeze it anyway, because just in case something goes wrong and I don't make it that night, now the clock is not ticking on its freshness. And we do that specifically because we've wasted food before. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to take one quick commercial break. And when we come back, we're going to be talking more about the food waste paradox and some strategies that you can employ to waste less food. We're talking with Gustavo Porpino. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio.
In today's day and age, it's refreshing to find a company with values that match yours.
And it's even more extraordinary when the products they make exceed your expectation in every way. That's what Michael's Naturopathic Programs has done for over 30 years. With more than 50 tried and truthful high-potency formulas, Michael's Naturopathic Programs give your body what it needs. No more guessing what herb or vitamin, amino acid, or mineral you need. With Michael's, it's all in one bottle. From cardiovascular support, to weight management, to nervous system support, to detox and cleansing, and more. Michael's Naturopathic Programs work. They have to. Michael himself has been giving it to his own family from the very start. You can find Michael's product at your local health food store or go to michaelshealth.com and get your tried and truthful formulation. That's michaelshealth.com.
For the best in real world, no nonsense, result producing and effective strength training, muscle building, and physical culture information, read Brooks Cubic's books and courses. Don't delay. Sprint on over to brookscubic.com and choose from more than a dozen of the best books and courses on the market. Brooks Cubic's training advice has been building strength, transforming physiques, and changing lives for more than 25 years. If you prefer ebooks, look for Brooks Cubic's best-selling courses at Amazon's Kindle bookstore. Show your support for Physical Culture Radio by going to brookscubic.com right now.
The health and performance benefits of phytonutrients are indisputable, but getting all of your phytonutrients from your diet is difficult. That's why Prime Nutrition introduced PhytoForm. PhytoForm has nearly 11 grams of all the micronized veggies, fruits, fiber, minerals, and antioxidants you need. Alfalfa, organic spirulina, and chlorella, plus acai, pomegranate, goji, bilberry, blueberry, raspberry, cranberry, and papaya. Cabbage, spinach, broccoli, beet, the list goes on and on. You won't find a better, more complete fruits and greens blend anywhere. It even includes PQQ, which has been shown to improve mitochondrial biogenesis. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Prime Nutrition banner ad today and use coupon code SHR to save 30% off. Prime Nutrition, the best or nothing.
If you want to outlast, outmuscle, and outperform your competition with a high-powered, stimulant-free carbohydrate source that has zero sugars, you want Carbolin. Carbolin is the original high-performance fuel that will allow you to load your muscles with glycogen in minutes instead of hours. As a pre, intra, and post-training supplement, it will give you a hardness and fullness to your muscles like you've never felt before. As an endurance supplement, Carbolin has been proven to increase VO2 max by 2.8%. If you want fast absorption and sustained energy without bloating or cramping, get Carbolin. Go to AAEFX.com today.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
Ever feel like you want something crunchy? From the company that gave us the Quest Protein Bar, now comes the Quest High Protein Potato Chips. With 21 grams of high-quality protein and only 5 grams of carbs and no artificial ingredients. Just like Quest Bars, you'll feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest High Protein Potato Chip banner ad today and get ready to be satisfied. Thanks to Quest Nutrition, chips just aren't what they used to be.
At Superior Hardcore Peptides, we pride ourselves on accurately dosed, high-quality peptides and research chemicals made in the USA. With all the options out there, we dedicated ourselves to providing the best service and the best products for your research. Click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com today and use the discount code SHR and get 20% off our already competitive prices. If you're going to do research, do it with the best Superior Hardcore Peptides.
This is the Superhuman Channel. Evolution just got kicked up a notch.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking with Gustavo Fortino. We're talking about the food waste paradox. You know, politicians are always talking about why they have to support companies like Monsanto and Syngenta because there's an objective to feed the world, the ever-growing population. But if we're wasting 28% of our food day in and day out, and that's probably a very conservative number that Gustavo presented here, Imagine how much easier it would be to feed the world if we just stopped wasting food, what we throw away. I used to live in Las Vegas, and I could tell you that when people go on vacations and they go to those buffets, they fill up their plates with food, they eat 20% of it, someone picks up the dish, they go and get another plate. All that stuff gets put into specific dumpsters that are brought to pig farms and fed to hogs and pigs. And it's so much food that the pig farmers pay the hotels to pick up the garbage. That's how abundant it is with freshly wasted food. This phenomenon is not exclusive to those who go on vacation. We do it in our homes. You and I know that we throw away food that is perfectly good to sustain life. For whatever reason, we waited too long to eat it, we made more than we needed to, or we bought something that we really didn't like, and we knew we weren't going to like it, but we bought it anyway, and we prepared it out of guilt, and we wasted it anyway. So, Gustavo, what kind of strategies can we employ to limit the amount of food we waste?
I'd like to show one data. About 60% of the food we waste in the household level is avoidable. It's usually leftovers that are still edible. So in the household level, the easiest thing to do to start avoiding less food is do not ever go to a supermarket without making sure which food products are needed. So consumers have to prepare a shopping list, and they can use new media technologies to facilitate this planning, such as APPs on their mobiles. Second, to plan the meals better. Mothers like to show love to their families over preparing food or giving a lot of snacks to kids, but they, instead of showing love through over-servings, they can plan meals better to portion size it better. Another thing is to repurpose leftovers. Today's rice can be tomorrow's risotto with green peas and cheese. So it's not that difficult to repurpose leftovers and to start stopping with this notion that leftovers are not useful or that leftovers are used food. And last, avoid giving too much snack to kids, as I said, between meals, because otherwise this practice will turn into more leftovers and a higher tendency to waste even more food.
You know, I was thinking about this during the break, and I thought another thing that could be suggested, we tend to prepare more food than we need to. So why not start a habit of making less? Just whatever. If you say, oh, we're going to make this meal tonight, and it requires a pound of ground beef, and you know you always have leftovers, and you know you don't always eat the leftovers, why not make it with a half pound of ground beef? If it turns out that you're still hungry after you eat your meal, you can supplement it with something else that you can have in small portions to satisfy both your dietary requirements and your hunger requirements, as opposed to having so much that we throw it away.
Sure. Cornell Food and Drug Lab studies shows that preparing less food is important to waste less, and also to fight the obesity problem we have in the U.S. and in Brazil. And another practice, which is easy to implement, is to use smaller dinerware. Mm-hmm. If consumers use smaller dinerwares, they will serve less food, and they will do not feel hungry after the meal anyway.
So, and it's true, we fill our plates up. So if the plate is smaller, we fill it with less food, but it still looks full to us. Our visual representation of if you have enough food on your plate is if it's full of, I have space, I can put something over there. So if you start with a smaller plate, the objective is easy to reach then. You'll end up with less food on your plate.
Yeah. And another thing important to mitigate food waste, not in the household level, but in a macro level, it's public policies. We need more social marketing initiatives, campaigns to increase the awareness about food waste. The United Kingdom is doing a good job with the Love Food, Hate Waste campaign, and I think the U.S. can do something similar, Brazil can do something similar, And it's really important in these campaigns to not blame consumers, because consumers, they don't want to waste food. They waste food because cultural norms are really powerful, but we have to find a way to show them that they can save money if they waste less food, and this money can be applied to in other ways for the family, for the kids' education, or even to eat food products that they are not buying in the moment, to insert new food products in their diets.
Well, think about this. So let's round up and use the number 30%. When I was raising a young family, a family of four at the time, we didn't have our third child yet. My average expense at the grocery store, Kroger's, because we tracked our checks in our budgeting, was between $800 and $900 a month. That's how much I spent at Kroger's. Now, the large majority of that were food products. The small portion of that was paper products, you know, toilet paper and paper towels, and then, of course, cleaning supplies. So if you even round down and say $700 of that money was spent specifically on food, and if we wasted 30%, which is, in my humble opinion, is a very, very conservative estimate.
Yeah.
That's $210 a month that I'm throwing away. That's close to $3,000 a year that I'm literally, if you took $200 in $10 bills and wadded it up and threw it in your trash can, you'd feel horrible knowing that you just lost $300. But you're doing the same thing when you waste food, when you don't eat leftovers, when you make more than you need. I mean, it's really, when you look at the economic impact of this, it's really shocking.
It is. And in the U.S. context, we realize, for instance, that families who have joined the community-supported agriculture system, they are more likely to waste vegetables and greens. I'm not against the farm share program, of course. It's a great idea. It helps both farmers to increment direct sales and consumers to access fresh produce from local farmers, which is good. But the challenge is that when consumers start having access to a wide variety of produce, such as asparagus, eggplants, turnips, some this sort of products that they don't eat in a daily basis, they sometimes don't know what to do with all these vegetables. So planning meals in this case is even more important.
You know what? Make soup and then freeze the soup, and then you can thaw it out and have it anytime you want. I mean, there's ways around this. Gustavo, it's a very, very important discussion, especially in the context that we're trying to feed 8 billion people. I think it would be a lot easier to feed 8 billion people if we stopped wasting 30% of our food. Gustavo, thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thanks a lot as well. I work for the Brazilian Agriculture Research Corporation, and I was recently a visiting scholar at Cornell Food and Brand Lab, and we are joining forces to feed better the world, to teach consumers how to waste less food. Thanks for the opportunity.
Thank you, Gustavo. All right, we're going to take one quick commercial break, and when we come back, we're going to pick it up on the other side of Super Human Radio. We're talking about motivation and exercise. They are mutually exclusive of each other, but there are points where they connect. We're going to get to the bottom of that when we come back. Stay tuned.
Everyone knows the importance of optimal vitamin D levels for health. Every week, a new study is released showing the linkage to disease from low levels of vitamin D. But throughout evolution, we have never gotten the massive amounts of vitamin D in our diet that we get today. This is why oral vitamin D is associated with toxicity and the risk of calcification of organs. Vitamin D is naturally synthesized in the skin, but dermatologists tell us to stay out of the sun for fear of skin damage. Now you can take your vitamin D the way nature intended it with Primal D. Primal D delivers a topical dose of vitamin D into the skin where it belongs. Topically applied vitamin D does not carry the risks associated with oral vitamin D. And a single bottle of Primal D should last you a year. For less than 19 cents a day, you could be taking the world's best vitamin D supplement. Go to PRIMAL-D.com to learn more. Oh, and you don't have to wait to run out of your current vitamin D to order Primal D. You can just throw it away because it just became obsolete. Primal-D.com. Vitamin D delivery the way nature intended. intended it.
If you take curcumin, you need to pay attention. The best curcumin on earth is metacurcumin. Metacurcumin is up to 277 times more bioavailable and absorbs over 6 times faster than standard curcumin supplements. Metacurcumin even outperforms those supposedly high-performance curcumin products. There's only one metacurcumin by Rev Genetics. You could save 20% off metacurcumin by clicking the banner ad at superhumanradio.com and use superhuman curcumin at checkout. If you want to help stop inflammation in its tracks, you need metacurcumin by Rev Genetics today.
Imagine if there was an organic, raw, extra virgin olive oil made from one-of-a-kind olives found in Sicily. And wouldn't it be amazing if the producer cared so much about the quality that they tested every batch for the important things that should be present in olive oil? Well, now there is. It's Papa Vince. For a limited time, you can get 2 bottles of Papa Vince 100% imported from Italy, organic, raw, EVOO, for $39. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the link and call recommends. Taste and feel the difference. Papa Vince since 1935.
If you want to outlast, outmuscle, and outperform your competition with a high-powered, stimulant-free carbohydrate source that has zero sugars, you want Carbolin. Carbolin is the original high-performance fuel that will allow you to load your muscles with glycogen in minutes instead of hours. As a pre, intra, and post-training supplement, it will give you a hardness and fullness to your muscles like you've never felt before. As an endurance supplement, Carbolin has been proven to increase VO2 max by 2.8%. If you want fast absorption and sustained energy without bloating or cramping, get Carbolin. Go to AAEFX.com today.
Prime Nutrition is proud to present Max HP, their most scientifically formulated pre-workout supplement to date, now available in 2 great tasting flavors, Tropic Fruit and Raspberry. Max HP is the most ultra-premium pre-workout available and is made without any artificial colors, flavors, or dye. Increasing blood flow to heighten anabolic activity, Max HP is designed to meet the heightened metabolic needs of high-performance athletes. Visit PrimeNutrition.com and use coupon code SUPERHUMANRADIO to receive 20% off of your entire order. Go to PrimeNutrition.com today.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at liveonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's liveonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
New from the makers of Mass Pro Synthogen, Progenidrex is finally available to everyone. Refined for years in elite athletes, it's the absolute pinnacle of products specifically designed to accelerate drug-free muscle growth without hormones. Using Progenidrex as directed results in dramatic increases in muscle size, pumps, and recovery from heavy training. Won't disrupt endocrine function and no need to cycle off. Visit PredatorNutrition.com and Fusion Supplements for the absolute last word in non-hormonal anabolics, Progenidrex.
This is the Superhuman Channel, where we use oxygen for the power of good.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. You know, there's so much discussion out there today about the linkage between inactivity and lifespan and health span, and the idea of getting more people to embrace exercise, embrace physical culture, is a notion that is being met with some obstacles. The main obstacle is people being motivated to exercise with some sort of regularity. My next guest is Dr. Karen Wieman Josephson. How you doing, Dr. Josephson?
Fine.
Good. Okay. We're turning your volume up. Just turn the volume up a little more. Okay. So, talk about your study. What questions were you attempting to answer in this research?
Okay. I just want to say first, I'm not a doctor yet. I'm a PhD student. So.
Oh, okay. Okay. I apologize.
No problem.
Okay.
The main question for me personally is that I would like to understand what drives people to find their own motivation to keep and to have sustainable exercise behaviors and to feel good about it, not to be pushed by some bad conscience or punishments or bad feelings about yourself, but feeling good about it. So And in doing that, I found that the self-determination theory has a really nice way of viewing human motivation. And that is why I use that as a framework.
So describe for the audience what the self-determination framework is.
So the self-determination theory, or SDT, in abbreviation, it's about that people have an innate tendency towards growth and feeling good and doing things that feels good. And it's based on that people have three innate psychological needs. Just as we have needs to feed, we also have psychological needs according to this theory. And to the extent that we could satisfy these human needs, people also will have a tendency to be more autonomously motivated.
Uh-huh.
Or more self-determined in their in regulating their behavior, and that will lead to more a higher maintenance and also to a higher sense of well-being.
What are these three innate psychological needs that we have?
So the needs are we have a need to feel autonomous. That's the basic thing of humans, that we need to feel that we are the ones driving the car, deciding, having opportunity to choose between options and feeling autonomous, not as in independent, but as in volitional behavior. Then we also have a need to feel competent. So we need to feel that we could handle situations that we stand before, and to feel confident that we could deal with different things in our lives and do the things we want to do. I don't know if you heard about self-efficacy.
No,
that's a similar concept, a very well-known concept of feeling a situation-specific confidence. So it's not global confidence, but situation-specific.
So somebody has a specialized talent, say, or they are a specialist in a certain area. They have a great deal of confidence in their ability in that one area, but maybe not something else like basketball or something like that.
Exactly. So you may feel that you are very confident in dancing tango, but you're not as confident in doing algebra.
Right. Okay.
So, yeah, and the third need that people have is it's not so strange. It's relatedness. We have a feel to a need to feel related to other people, to feel that we are part of.
Ah, yeah. So there's it like that. Maybe
yeah, we have connections.
Yeah, connections, community. I was just thinking of like in the gym, when you become connected and you have other friends at the gym, it makes you more likely to show up and actually exercise, as opposed to if you're a lone wolf and you talk to no one.
Yeah, but you could also be a lone wolf and being satisfied with that. Then you have your need of relatedness maybe satisfied in other ways. Maybe that you could feel like you're an exerciser even if you exercise alone. So it's not, it doesn't have to be a group, but you need to have some sort of connections or social connections to people, feel related to other people, feel that you are cared for and that you care for other people.
Okay, so who was the cohort? What kind of individuals were the cohort made up of, and how did you assess where they fell in this scale of satisfaction, self-determination, I'm sorry?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I cooperate with a company that sell like exercise programs on the internet, mainly to private companies, but also to people.
Okay.
And a private customers. I don't know what to call them in English.
Clients.
Yeah, clients. Yes, yeah, private clients or companies or businesses. So they have a website, and mainly it's about step contests. So the company, usually they buy a step contest, like our employees are walking to Venice,
okay,
or walking to Paris, or
right,
like that. So you create groups and you compete amongst each other.
Pretty cool.
So we, yeah, it actually, it's kind of engaging. It's just a, I don't know how to say it, but it's a one-shot thing, you know.
Yeah.
You do it maybe
but
once
still,
or
but
twice.
Still, it organizes and unifies everybody with a mission, and that mission also
exactly
has the byproduct of improving physical fitness and activity.
Exactly, and hopefully it could also help people to find some motivation to do it and to continue even after this.
Right.
Because you find, you could find some opportunities in your everyday life that you could make some steps,
yeah,
instead of sitting,
yeah,
down or standing.
So how many people were in this group that you surveyed?
Oh, it was about 1,100, I think. I'm not really sure. Yeah,
1,000, almost 1,100, 1,091. Yeah, good, okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, and this is a cross-sectional study. So this is the first real study that I did. And a cross-sectional means that you just make, like you just do one measurement point.
Okay.
So you measure them at one point. There are, of course, good and bad things about that, but the good thing is that if you have such a big sample, as we do, and you could make some really nice advanced analysis instead of just doing simple correlations or ANOVAs, I don't know, yeah, if you know what that's,
yes,
like, but
yes.
More advanced statistical analysis, like mediation, moderation analysis.
Okay, here's what we need to do. We need to take a break, and when we come back, I want to talk about what your findings were when you offered the questionnaires to these individuals. We're going to take one quick commercial break, and when we come back, we're going to be talking more about the motivational regulation of exercise with Karen Wieman Josephson. Stay tuned. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. We shall return.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4930. That's 800-861-4936. WiseChoiceMedicine.net. CanSee Eye Drops. The name says it all.
Everyone knows the importance of optimal vitamin D levels for health. Every week, a new study is released showing the linkage to disease from low levels of vitamin D. But throughout evolution, we have never gotten the massive amounts of vitamin D in our diet that we get today. This is why oral vitamin D is associated with toxicity and the risk of calcification of organs. Vitamin D is naturally synthesized in the skin, but dermatologists tell us to stay out of the sun for for fear of skin damage. Now you can take your vitamin D the way nature intended it with Primal D. Primal D delivers a topical dose of vitamin D into the skin where it belongs. Topically applied, vitamin D does not carry the risks associated with oral vitamin D. And a single bottle of Primal D should last you a year. For less than 19 cents a day, you could be taking the world's best vitamin D supplement. Go to PRIMAL-D.com to learn more. Oh, and you don't have to wait to run out of your current vitamin D to order Primal D. You can just throw it away because it just became obsolete. Primal-D.com. Vitamin D delivery the way nature intended it.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at LiveOnLabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's LiveOnLabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, Labs.com.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your questions. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn. Teach. Lead.
Superhuman Radio has the smartest and most dedicated health and fitness listeners found anywhere in the world. If you're trying to tap this market of greater than 50 million health fitness consumers, you simply can't do better than advertising on Superhuman Radio. Our sponsors tell us Superhuman Radio outperforms other forms of advertising time and time again. If you're tired of wasting valuable advertising dollars and need a new way to build your client base, go to superhumanradio.com and click on the Advertise with Us link. It just may be the best thing you have ever done for your business.
Prime Nutrition is proud to present Max HP, their most scientifically formulated pre-workout supplement to date, now available in two great tasting flavors, Tropic Fruit and Raspberry. Max HP is the most ultra-premium pre-workout available and is made without any artificial colors, flavors, or dye. Increasing blood flow to heighten anabolic activity, Max HP is designed to meet the heightened metabolic needs of high-performance athletes. Visit PrimeNutrition.com and use coupon code SUPERHUMANRADIO to receive 20% off of your entire order. Go to PrimeNutrition.com today.
Move over, superheroes. This is the Superhuman Channel.
Are you ready? Ready.
Ready. Welcome back. We're talking with Karen Weeman Josephson, all the way from Sweden. Your affiliation, your primary affiliation, is with the research on welfare, health, and sport at Halmstad University, correct?
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay. Just wanted to give them the appropriate plug. So, talk about the findings now. We understand who the cohort was. What did you find out about the linkage to motivation and autonomy in exercise?
Oh, yeah. So we did some analysis on the proposed process model that describes the mechanisms of motivation according to the self-determination theory. And we found our sample to behave according to theory. So the self-determined motivation acted as a mediating variable in the relationship between psychological need, satisfaction, and exercise. But what we also found was that these patterns of indirect effects or mechanisms, they were different across age and gender. So that indicates that the mechanisms of the process model could vary qualitatively in different subgroups, like for older women or younger men. So this tells us that one size may not fit all, and this is actually a bit of some news in the research of self-determination theory, since it stipulates that it should be the same across age and gender. So this is kind of interesting, and it supports the idea that there are no generic methods that will be successful in all situations for all participants.
Mm-hmm.
So it seems that, one important key to success could be to personalize and use adequate timing, and that is doing the right thing for the right person at the right time. And maybe that doesn't seem so strange when listening to it, but actually a lot of interventions on exercise and physical activity, they are not successful. And half of the people who start a new exercise routine, they actually drop out within 3 to 6 months. And we've known that for like 30 years.
Right.
And you don't have to go very much further than to look to yourself to know that there's kind of an effort involved in sustaining your exercise routines in face of obstacles and barriers and priorities of your life. So I think it could be very interesting to know how to tailor interventions based on what we know about these motivational mechanisms.
Well, the timing mechanism is something that we probably cannot control, in that the individual must come to this conclusion for whatever reason that they want to begin exercising. And it can't be, oh, it's New Year's, I'm going to lose all that weight, because we see what that does. By March, all of those people have fallen by the wayside and they've stopped exercising. Now, I think back to an interview that I did probably around 2007 with a researcher within a psychology department in the UK. I can't remember the university or her name, but she had authored a study that looked at the number of near-death experiences it is required before a person changes the high-risk behavior that they're almost being killed from. And we would all think one time, we would all think that, oh, if I was engaged in this high-risk behavior and I literally almost died from it, that I would change my high-risk, I would eliminate that high-risk behavior because I lived and I'm happy to be alive and I'll never do that high-risk behavior again. But that's not the case. It actually took three of these near-death experiences. Some of these were drug use, alcohol, they were, you know, other factors involved. But it took three of these near-death experiences before the person actually abandoned the high-risk behavior. And many of the people didn't live past the second one. So they actually died during the study. And, you know, when you think about that, you know, that it takes a lot to create the timing for a person to come to grips with the notion that, oh, I have to now start doing this, or I have to now stop doing this. So the timing part is really the real confounder here, don't you think?
Well, that was a lot of questions in one, but I'm not really sure that I agree on her research. I haven't read it, so I shouldn't. But spontaneously, I would not think so, at least not when it comes to exercise and physical activity behaviors. Maybe when it comes to drug abuse and
yeah, addiction,
like that,
addiction is different. Yes.
Using the seat belt, using the helmet, I think to those kind of risk behaviors, maybe that could apply. I don't know about that. But the way I view exercise and physical activity motivation, that would not be in line with self-determination theory stipulations anyway, and not according to my own experiences either, because the things I have experienced myself with my own exercise behavior and with others and what I've read and what I've seen, I actually do think that there are a lot of ways that we could help people to prioritize this and to do it because it feels meaningful to them, not because they're afraid of something or feel guilty of something or because they should, but in line with self-determined behavior, that you feel that it's important to them, that it's meaningful and even fun. I mean, feeling something is fun and interesting and it makes you curious and it makes you feel good. That is the best motivation of all. It's naive to think that all people could be truly intrinsically motivated to exercise and physical activity because, everyone won't. But if we could move them towards feeling more self-determined and to feel meaningful, maybe then they could experience sometimes the feeling of joy and enjoyment in doing it. And I think that is the best way to go forward when you're creating interventions and programs.
I personally think that from my own journey of being at death's door to being committed to a healthy lifestyle now for some 15 years, that I look at the short-term goals. So for me, it's progressive strength increases. I look at those things. They're short-term. I can measure them from week to week. If I'm working on my conditioning, it could be being able to accomplish a certain aerobic task faster. And looking at it from more of a game perspective, if you are watching these things, like you said before, with the one company and another company, they challenge each other for this walk. Who wins? I think we get, if we try to convince people they should exercise because of the intrinsic value of exercise, they don't get it. But if we enlist them and not even focus on that into, hey, let's see if you can actually increase your deadlift. Let's see if you can actually increase your 1 minute mile. Let's see, and make that the goal. You almost trick them into falling in love with exercise. What do you think of that?
Well, I don't like the trick part, but I know what you mean. And I think so. I think you, in my case, it was really important that I experienced what you say. I experienced feeling better. And that was really important for me to increase my performance. And it was really, really dear to me to get better and to feel good about myself in the process. And that actually moved me towards feeling more intrinsic. But still, after 20 years, and I've been studying this for 15 years now, and I've been an exercise instructor in spinning and pump and everything, and I work out 5 days a week, and I really believe it, but I am not always truly intrinsically motivated. I am very often motivated to do it because I know I won't reach my goals. And there's a lot of arguing with yourself all the time. And in order to win those arguments, you need to have experienced the good things about it.
Yes,
I think.
Yes,
I agree. Because then you know that it's not fun when you do it always, but it feels damn good afterwards. You know.
You know.
And when you have that feeling, and when you know that, you can motivate yourself.
We're coming to the end of the interview. I will share something with you that the audience knows already. But I just turned 57. It becomes harder and harder to motivate yourself when you start dealing with your body doesn't want to cooperate in the morning. But I always feel I know now my motivation is that no matter how badly I feel in the morning, I always feel great after my training. I always feel, it's almost, and I think to myself, look, what's the worst thing? So I'll live to be 80 years old and I have to do this every morning. That's fantastic. If this is my medicine, I'm okay with that. So,
yeah, and you never regret a workout.
No, I always look forward to
it. The ones that you didn't do.
Yes, yes. Look, I want to thank you so much for coming on the show today.
Thank you so much for calling me. It was really my pleasure.
Okay, take care. All right, we're going to take one quick commercial break, and when we come back, we're going to be joined by Dr. Stephanie Seneff, We're going to be talking about the linkage between cholesterol sulfate and atherosclerosis. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. We shall return.
Imagine if there was an organic, raw, extra virgin olive oil made from one-of-a-kind olives found in Sicily. And wouldn't it be amazing if the producer cared so much about the quality that they tested every batch for the important things that should be present in olive oil? Well, now there is. It's Papa Vince. For a limited time, you can get two bottles of Papa Vince 100% imported from Italy, organic, raw, EVOO, for $39. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the link and call recommends. Taste and feel the difference. Papa Vince since 1935.
New from the makers of Mass Pro Synthogen, Progenidrex. It's finally available to everyone. Refined for years in elite athletes, it's the absolute pinnacle of products specifically designed to accelerate drug-free muscle growth without hormones. Using Progenidrex as directed results in dramatic increases in muscle size, pumps, and recovery from heavy training. Won't disrupt endocrine function and no need to cycle off. Visit PredatorNutrition.com and Fusion Supplements for the absolute last word in non-hormonal anabolics, Progenidrex.
In today's day and age, it's refreshing to find a company with values that match yours. And it's even more extraordinary when the products they make exceed your expectation in every way. That's what Michael's Naturopathic Programs has done for over 30 years. With more than 50 tried and truthful high-potency formulas, Michael's Naturopathic Programs give your body what it needs. No more guessing what herb or vitamin, amino acid, or mineral you need. With Michael's, it's all in one bottle. From cardiovascular support to weight management to nervous system support to detox and cleansing and more, Michael's Naturopathic Programs work. They have to. Michael himself has been giving it to his own family from the very start. You can find Michael's product at your local health food store or go to michaelshealth.com and get your tried and truthful formulation. That's michaelshealth.com.
Superhuman Radio has the smartest and most dedicated health and fitness listeners found anywhere in the world. If you're trying to tap this market of greater than 50 million health fitness consumers, you simply can't do better than advertising on Superhuman Radio. Our sponsors tell us Superhuman Radio outperforms other forms of advertising time and time again. If you're tired of wasting valuable advertising dollars and need a new way to build your client base, go to superhumanradio.com and click on the Advertise with Us link. It just may be the best thing you have ever done for your business.
If you take curcumin, you need to pay attention. The best curcumin on earth is metacurcumin. Metacurcumin is up to 277 times more bioavailable and absorbs over 6 times faster than standard curcumin supplements. Metacurcumin even outperforms those supposedly high-performance curcumin products. There's only one metacurcumin by Rev Genetics. You could save 20% off metacurcumin by clicking the banner ad at superhumanradio.com and use superhuman curcumin at checkout. If you want to help stop inflammation in its tracks, you need Metacurcumin by Rev Genetics today.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at livonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's livonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your question. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn, teach, lead.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. Don't hate us because we feel good.
Big sight. New. Hank. Big
sight. Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. You know, number one cause of death in America is heart disease. It's also the driving force for some of the most popular pharmaceutical drugs, statin drugs. These drugs are supposed to prevent the buildup of plaque, which you may know as atherosclerosis. My next guest is a returning guest, Dr. Stephanie Seneff. How are you doing, Dr. Seneff?
I'm doing great.
And we've kind of touched on this gently in other interviews that we've had you on the show, but you just published a paper.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, I didn't know this, but this paper is open access, which means you don't have to pay to see the whole paper. Dr. Senef told me during the break that she refuses to publish any paper where people have to pay to get it, right?
That's right. That's my new policy as of the last few years. And there's more reasons than just that it's available to everybody, because I see the open access journals as the future. And the really interesting papers are showing up there. And that's really, I think, because the mainstream journals, which are more prestigious, you know, they have higher ratings and whatnot, and they're behind these paywalls.
Right.
But they're also more, there's much more, the review process ends up making you strip all the good, I mean, I shouldn't say it that boldly, but the good ideas, you can't express them as easily and get through the review process if you're trying to publish in one of these prestigious journals. So they become more restricted in their thinking. You know, the people who write in those journals are restricted. They probably have much bigger ideas than they're putting in the paper, but they can't get by with it without it getting rejected.
Yeah, because they don't want to say anything that offends the orthodoxy that's behind the agendas of what that publication publishes.
Thank you for saying that, because that's how I feel. I mean, there's a certain view of the world right now that's extremely wrong, in my opinion, within the medical community, and they're hanging on to that view because it's making them a lot of money. And so that needs to be disrupted, but disrupting the status quo is really difficult to do within these closed journals, these pay-per-view journals. So I really love the open access. People write really interesting articles there, you know, with a lot of thought and analysis and trying to understand.
And they're not edited, and they're not censored.
No, they are. They are peer reviewed.
I didn't mean that. I meant they're not censored. When I said
I think it's much less. You know, I think there's much more freedom there,
right?
Of expression, and
right.
So they're willing to publish these bolder ideas, I should say, more revolutionary. You know, because it's really interesting. You know, you go back to Galileo, and I think it's still true today that if you deviate outside of this core plan, that sort of the general status quo in terms of how people view the world, you get slapped, you know?
You know what?
You're sort of not allowed to do that.
We are, as a species, humans, we are so nearsighted when it comes to the things that have happened in our past. We only see today. We don't realize that the things that have been done to us recently have been done to us for thousands of years,
right,
by governments and institutions. Medicine has been doing what it's been doing. Religion has been doing what it's been doing. Nothing changes because we don't have... Governments pass the baton, but populations don't.
Uh-huh.
Governments keep building and building on what they have done so far, but
right,
we just die, and that's it.
Right.
You know, it's really sad. But anyway, if you go to the Theoretical Biology and Medical Modeling Journal, you'll find the study. It's a novel hypothesis for arteriosclerosis as a cholesterol sulfate deficiency syndrome. And so what questions were you trying to answer? Let's start there with this research.
Yeah, well, it actually goes way back. It goes, you know, quite many years back, maybe 8 or 9 years ago. And actually, it was a personal reason. My husband was diagnosed with heart disease. And at the time, I actually didn't know much about heart disease. I mean, of course, I knew it was a major killer and it was a concern. He was put on this high-dose statin drug and, of course, immediately suffered a lot of symptoms, side effects of the statin drug. And I just basically became obsessed at that point, and I started learning everything I could about heart disease and about statin drugs. And I didn't like what I saw. I certainly didn't like what I saw with respect to statin drugs. And we fought his doctor over the course of that first year and got him off the statin. By the end of that year, he was taking none. He slowly tapered down. He hasn't taken a statin drug since then. That's been like 8 years ago. He's doing great, by the way.
Huh.
Really great. So that motivated me to learn about heart disease. I mean, nothing like a personal reason, right?
Yes.
And really very early in my research, I started to think in terms of cholesterol sulfate. It was really one of my, I don't know, I came across a paper called Sulfate in Human Physiology, What's It All About? By a guy named Strott. Really a fun paper. Really the only review paper on cholesterol sulfate that I have found, which is quite amazing. So cholesterol sulfate is an overlooked molecule, understudied, overlooked, and hugely important in my opinion. And so when you start digging and you start reading everything you can find on cholesterol sulfate, it's mentioned in various papers and they say something about how it's working here and how it's working there. You suddenly, I mean, I just sort of suddenly had an insight
that made everything fall into place. It was really exciting. This was many years ago. And so I actually wrote a couple papers on cholesterol sulfate way back then, sort of trying to formulate my ideas, and I didn't succeed in getting them published. I just kind of let them sit, you know. But they were a process for me to try to learn what was going on myself by writing. Well, writing is a very good way to learn.
Yeah, to actually connect to connect dots. Because
yes.
When you think things, it's hard to connect the dots because some of the things you think are fleeting and they disappear.
Yes.
But if you write it down, you go back and look at something, you go, oh, wait a minute.
Exactly. And then you say, I can't write this quite right, so I better go do some more research. And so it inspires you to go find some more answers, you know. It's a wonderful process. I love it. I just love it. It's so much fun. And I made this huge breakthrough, I believe. And it's been all these years. And I've had a couple papers. There's an earlier paper that I published also with some of the same people that are on this paper. I've got some brilliant people that I'm working with on this, especially Bob Davidson. He's really smart. And he's a co-author on both of these papers. We had an earlier one on cholesterol sulfate, and this one is an extension and, you know, more of the same thing, but it's so clear to me, and I really believe I'm right, and it's huge because it really means the statins are doing exactly the wrong thing.
Right, and we know they are because, okay, we know one thing for sure. Statins do not work. They do not improve a person's outcome either for their second heart attack, and they don't protect people against their first heart attack. And quite frankly, they have some really, really nasty side effects. Like one is called Alzheimer's disease.
Right. No, they have an incredible number of side effects. And of course, that's one thing I zeroed in on as I was exploring it in the beginning. And actually, there's a lot of papers. And since then, many papers have come out demonstrating an incredible list of side effects. And if you look at that list, you realize what statins are doing is they're making you grow older faster. Because here's some of the side effects. Cataracts, arthritis, Alzheimer's, you know, memory lapses, muscle aches, muscle pain, you know, weakness, joint pain. I mean, all these things. And stomach issues. I mean, all these things that are really great. Even losing hair, losing hearing. You know, so cataracts, losing sight. I mean, these are all
things that you think of a really old person. This is what they look like. They're hunched over. They're muscle wasted. They can't hear. They can't see anymore. But think about something else. It makes perfect sense. Cholesterol makes up the outer portion of every cell in your body. If you reduce cholesterol, it's like trying to build the Empire State Building, but they say, yeah, but we're not going to give you any cement. We're only going to give you this little bit of cement. We're going to give you this little bit of cement. You put all the bricks together. No, the bricks are just going to fall over eventually.
Yeah, and it really annoys me when people say, oh, my cholesterol is too high. You know, they're all worried about their high cholesterol. And cholesterol is so essential to the performance, particularly of your brain and your muscles. I mean, those guys really need the cholesterol. The brain has huge amounts of cholesterol. And it can't function properly without that cholesterol.
No one pays attention to two well-done studies by the University of Hawaii where they looked at older individuals and the outcomes, and they followed one group was followed, I think, for 18 or 20 years. And they basically said the elderly people with the highest cholesterol levels had the most robust physiology and lived the longest. And nobody pays attention to
those. I probably talked about this last time because that was a paper I came across some time ago, really stunning, 17 years. And really across the board, you know, physically frail, mentally declining, earlier death for the ones who had the low cholesterol.
Right.
And that's also shown up in other papers, too. And there's papers that show among Alzheimer's patients, the ones who have the worst Alzheimer's on average have also the lowest cholesterol. You know, it's all there. I mean, it's very much very, very clear.
And in fact, I wish I was, if I was part of a larger radio company, they would be cataloging the things that I say, and I could go back and play a clip for you. But I want to say it was probably 6 years ago or 7 years ago, I said that now that the cat is out of the bag, that statin drugs don't work, you watch what the pharmaceutical industry is going to do. They're going to repurpose them. They're going to find, they're not going to give up their market share.
Yeah.
They're just going to go, well, we're going to ignore that we said it used to do. We're going to, and guess what? Now they're saying that they're great for reducing chronic inflammation. Nobody's talking about.
I know.
The
I know because they keep saying because it's their anti-inflammatory effect that's what's making them work. You know, in terms of reducing heart attacks, which they've been able to show that they do reduce the number of heart attacks in this carefully picked population, which is male men in their 50s, relatively early in life, who already have evidence of heart disease. That's a very select group, and within that group, you can see that it does, in fact, reduce the likelihood that you'll have a heart attack. But what you don't realize is it doesn't improve your likelihood of living longer. And furthermore, the heart attacks you have are likely to be more deadly, because that, it really messes up your body's ability to manage that heart attack in a good way, you know. Now, the statin drugs are really, in my opinion, they're going to go down in history as the worst ever catastrophe in the pharmaceutical industry. And it is amazing that they have had this 40-year, you know, ride of making huge amounts of money. And they've got now something like a quarter of the population is on statins. Even they're putting children on them.
Oh.
I just find that horrible. You know, it just really it really frustrates me to think that of a child being put on a statin drug. It's just really amazing.
Here's what I want to do. I want to take our first commercial break. When we come back, let's start delving into the research and talking about cholesterol sulfate. We're talking with Dr. Stephanie Seneff. You can actually get this entire paper for free. It's open access. It's on the Theoretical Biology and Medical Modeling Journal website. Go there and check it out. We'll be right back.
If you take curcumin, you need to pay attention. The best curcumin on earth is metacurcumin. Metacurcumin is up to 277 times more bioavailable and absorbs over 6 times faster than standard curcumin supplements. Metacurcumin even outperforms those supposedly high-performance curcumin products. There's only one metacurcumin by Rev Genetics. You could save 20% off metacurcumin by clicking the banner ad at superhumanradio.com and use superhuman curcumin at checkout. If you want to help stop inflammation in its tracks, you need metacurcumin. Human by Rev Genetics today.
Everyone knows the importance of optimal vitamin D levels for health. Every week, a new study is released showing the linkage to disease from low levels of vitamin D. But throughout evolution, we have never gotten the massive amounts of vitamin D in our diet that we get today. This is why oral vitamin D is associated with toxicity and the risk of calcification of organs. Vitamin D is naturally synthesized in the skin, but dermatologists tell us to stay out of the sun for fear of skin damage. Now you can take your vitamin D the way nature intended it with Primal D. Primal D delivers a topical dose of vitamin D into the skin where it belongs. Topically applied vitamin D does not carry the risks associated with oral vitamin D. And a single bottle of Primal D should last you a year. For less than 19 cents a day, you could be taking the world's best vitamin D supplement. Go to PRIMAL-D.com to learn more. Oh, and you don't have to wait to run out of your current vitamin D to order Primal D. You can just throw it away because it just became obsolete. Primal-D.com. Vitamin D delivery the way nature intended it.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. WiseChoiceMedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
The health and performance benefits of phytonutrients are indisputable, but getting all of your phytonutrients from your diet is difficult. That's why Prime Nutrition introduced PhytoForm. PhytoForm has nearly 11 grams of all the micronized veggies, fruits, fiber, minerals, and antioxidants you need. Alfalfa, organic spirulina, and chlorella, plus acai, pomegranate, goji, bilberry, blueberry, raspberry, cranberry, and papaya. Cabbage, spinach, broccoli, beet, the list goes on and on. You won't find a better, more complete fruits and greens blend anywhere. It even includes PQQ, which has been shown to improve mitochondrial biogenesis. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Prime Nutrition banner ad today and use coupon code SHR to save 30% off. Prime Nutrition, the best or nothing.
Ever feel like you want something crunchy? From the company that gave us the Quest Protein Bar, now comes the Quest High Protein Potato Chips. With 21 grams of high quality protein and only 5 grams of carbs and no artificial ingredients. Just like Quest bars, you'll feel like you're cheating, but you're not. go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest High Protein Potato Chip banner ad today and get ready to be satisfied. Thanks to Quest Nutrition, chips just aren't what they used to be.
For the best in real-world, no-nonsense, result-producing, and effective strength training, muscle building, and physical culture information, read Brooks Cubic's books and courses. Don't delay. Sprint on over to brookscubic.com and choose from more than a dozen of the best books and courses on the market. Brooks Cubic's training advice has been building strength, transforming physiques, and changing lives for more than 25 years. If you prefer ebooks, look for Brooks Cubic's best-selling courses at Amazon's Kindle bookstore. Show your support for Physical Culture Radio by going to brookscubic.com right now.
This is the Superhuman Channel, where brawn and brains finally meet.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking with Dr. Stephanie Seneff. We're talking about cholesterol sulfate and its linkage to atherosclerosis. Just for the record, over 35% of all deaths in the United States are from heart disease. It's the leading cause of death in America.
Right.
It is second only to all combined cancers. That's a lot of people that die every single year. Close to a million people a year die from heart disease. This is shocking. This is shocking. Okay, so talk about your research. So you started looking at this this linkage. What did you find?
Right. Well, so I found cholesterol sulfate to be extremely interesting. And one of the things I found early on is that it's found in the membrane of the red blood cells. So, of course, the red blood cells are really important in the blood. They're delivering the oxygen to all the cells with the hemoglobin. But the red blood cells actually need to protect themselves from the environment, and they need the negative charge. They need the negative charge for one reason in order to be able to move in the blood, because the blood has it's like a battery. It's really interesting to me that I think the red blood cells can swiftly move through the capillaries because of their negative charge, which is attracting them to the other side of the capillary where the pH is lower, which is making it be positively charged. So it's just like electrons flowing to a cathode in a battery. Mm-hmm. You know, the red blood cells are being attracted like a magnet through the capillary to get to the other side if they have negative charge. And if they don't have enough negative charge, they slow down. And then that's how you can get really bad issues with blood flow. I think blood flow is the key problem in death. I mean, basically, you see so many old people who are taking various blood thinners, you know, taking Coumadin. They're worried about hemorrhaging. I mean, they're kind of walking a tightrope between thrombosis, which is blood clots, and hemorrhaging. Their blood is really, really unstable. And the way you can get stable blood, in my opinion, is to have enough cholesterol sulfate to throw around to everybody. And it's not just the red blood cells. The platelets have cholesterol sulfate in their membranes, and the LDL particles have cholesterol sulfate in their membranes. And it's doing the same thing for them. It's giving them that negative charge. The negative charge allows them to move, but also allows them to repel each other so that things don't stick together. Because that's how you get a blood clot, is when things start sticking together.
So the cholesterol sulfate creates a charge that makes these cells almost antithrombotic.
Yes, that's right. It makes them well separated, so they don't stick together, and also it allows them to move because they're going in the gradient with this electrical current. So it's really beautiful. It's a beautiful system. Unfortunately, if there's not enough cholesterol sulfate, the system's going to break down, and the blood won't flow, and you'll get all these catastrophes. You'll get these thromboses, and then you'll get these and also the membranes become leaky, so you get hemorrhaging, you know, out into the tissues. You get big bruises and stuff like that. I mean, you really get into a really tricky situation with your blood when you don't have enough cholesterol sulfate in your blood.
Now, atherosclerotic plaque is thought to be a combination of cholesterol and calcium that kind of bonds together in an effort to repair a fissure or a tear in the lining of an artery.
Yes.
So does cholesterol sulfate play any role in the resisting the aggregation of plaque?
It plays a huge role in the plaque, and it's talked about in our paper, and it's a little bit complicated, but let me see if I can kind of simplify it. And it's really beautiful. I want to start off by saying, you know, people just take for granted. They don't seem to question, well, of course, you know, there's all this extra, this is the model, there's all this extra cholesterol. It's bad stuff. You know, it gets packed into the arteries, the major arteries feeding the heart. And you have to ask right away, why would your body put it there? I mean, biology is really smart.
Mm-hmm.
And the last place you'd want to stuff extra cholesterol is in the arteries supplying the most important organ in the body.
Right.
It doesn't make any sense. You know,
so the body has
sense.
To be doing it for a reason. It thinks it's doing something good.
Exactly so, and it is doing something good. What it is doing is it is stashing cholesterol to give the heart preferential treatment. It's basically like the heart squirreling away excess cholesterol. It's piling it away because it's waiting for the opportunity to make cholesterol sulfate out of that cholesterol. And that's where it's stuck because there isn't enough sulfate. The whole problem, in my opinion, is sulfate deficiency. And the really interesting thing about sulfate, which we figured out, this group, you know, this team, we figured this out some years ago, and it's talked about in this paper that I referred to. This is the really cool part. The red blood cells, the platelets, the cells lining the walls of the blood vessels, and the keratinocytes in the skin, all of them, at least that group, and probably other cells as well, can make sulfate from reduced sulfur sources in the presence of sunlight. And that includes from hydrogen sulfide gas. So when you have, if you're, for example, walking along the beach, there's extra hydrogen sulfide gas in the air that's coming out of the water at the ocean. Uh-huh. And your body can, I believe, can take that hydrogen sulfide in and turn it into sulfate with sunlight as a catalyst. So this is absolutely amazing if it's true. I think it's once we had that insight, it explained so many things. And the molecule that we think does this is a really special molecule called ENOS, endothelial nitric oxide synthase, well known for its ability to make nitric oxide, which is basically oxidizing nitrogen. But this molecule can also oxidize sulfur, and it does that when it's in the membrane. This molecule is really, really complicated. The way that it's controlled is really amazing. I mean, there's all kinds of intricate monitoring and changing of its behavior under certain circumstances that goes on. There's tons of papers written about it. But it's very clear to us that it can make sulfate from sulfur when it's in the plasma membrane of the cell for certain cells. And one of those cell types is the red blood cell, which is really, really important because that means the red blood cell can make its own sulfate, add it to the cholesterol, stick it in the membrane, and then the red blood cell is a happy camper, you know?
Okay,
that's
so
how the red blood,
okay,
blood
so
cell keeps itself happy.
I want to connect some tangents, some dots here. So I published a blog not too long ago about they're using melanotan 2 to reduce the inflammation in plaque and reduce plaque buildup and possibly even reverse plaque buildup. And we know that melanotan 2 is a peptide that is naturally produced when you lay in the sun. Okay, I posted a blog not too long ago saying perhaps the cure for heart disease will come with a suntan. We also know that all of the vitamin D research is based on those who live in climates where they get a lot of sunlight. They have less heart attacks, they have less diabetes, blah, 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 blah. And so we think that if we just pound away the vitamin D, that we're going to get these same benefits. But
We're not.
We're seeing that because we're seeing papers published that are going, they're contradicting. Well, we didn't see the outcome we were looking for. Gee,
I know.
What happened?
I'm amused watching all this unfold because I'm predicting exactly that. And once they finally do these placebo-controlled studies, they're so sure, oh, my God, vitamin D. You know, people have high vitamin D. They're so healthy. And they say, okay, we'll just pump them full of vitamin D. And then they do the placebo-controlled experiment with the vitamin D supplement, and it falls apart. Even they've got experiments that make heart disease worse. I've seen papers.
So
vitamin D plus calcium makes heart disease worse.
Well, in theory, I mean, I'm just a radio show guy, right? But correct me if I'm wrong. In theory, if we were able to get therapeutic levels of sunlight while consuming therapeutic amounts of sulfur, we probably could actually start to reduce plaque.
Absolutely the case. I am just about positive that's the case. I mean, that's what we're doing, by the way. I mean, right now my husband and I are in Hawaii. You know, we get lots of sun. We have convertible cars. All of our cars are convertibles. We have one here. We have two at home in where we live in Boston. You know, every chance we get, we've got that top down when we're driving. We're out there walking in the sun. I mean, we really work hard to get sun exposure. And he's doing terrifically well, as I told you, you know, with his heart disease problem. He really has almost disappeared.
This is exciting. I mean, you know what? When I wrote that blog, I thought, you know what? I always thrived when I laid in the sun every single day. I always felt better when I laid in the sun every single day. I was in Montana this weekend, and I happened to switch on to one of these local public broadcasting channels there in Montana, and they had this dermatologist up there scaring the bejeebers out of people to stay out of the sun. And you know what? And it's like I'm thinking to myself, this is some of the worst advice we've ever gotten. I mean, this is we should be in the sun. And
yeah, it's crazy because, you know, the sun is God's gift to the earth. That's what's keeping life working, you know.
Yeah, and they want us to become mole people. Let's do this. Let's take a quick commercial break. We'll come back on the other side. We'll explore this idea even further with Dr. Stephanie Senna.
At Superior Hardcore Peptides, we pride ourselves on accurately dosed, high-quality peptides and research chemicals made in the USA. With all the options out there, we dedicated ourselves to providing the best service and the best products for your research. Click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com today and use the discount code SHR and get 20% off our already competitive prices. If you're going to do research, do it with the best Superior Hardcore Peptides.
Prime Nutrition is proud to present Max HP, their most scientifically formulated pre-workout supplement to date. Now available in two great tasting flavors, Tropic Fruit and Raspberry. Max HP is the most ultra-premium pre-workout available and is made without any artificial colors, flavors, or dye. Increasing blood flow to heighten anabolic activity, Max HP is designed to meet the heightened metabolic needs of high-performance athletes. Visit PrimeNutrition.com and use coupon code SUPERHUMANRADIO to receive 20% off of your entire order. Go to PrimeNutrition.com today.
If you take curcumin, you need to pay attention. The best curcumin on earth is metacurcumin. Metacurcumin is up to 277 times more bioavailable and absorbs over 6 times faster than standard curcumin supplements. Metacurcumin even outperforms those supposedly high-performance curcumin products. There's only one metacurcumin by Rev Genetics. You could save 20% off metacurcumin by clicking the banner ad at SuperHumanRadio.com and use Superhuman Curcumin at checkout. If you want to help stop inflammation in its tracks, you need Metacurcumin by Rev Genetics today.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at LivonLabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's LivonLabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, Labs.com.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
If you want to outlast, outmuscle, and outperform your competition with a high-powered, stimulant-free carbohydrate source that has zero sugars, you want Carbolin. Carbolin is the original high-performance fuel that will allow you to load your muscles with glycogen in minutes instead of hours. As a pre-, intra-, and post-training supplement, it will give you a hardness and fullness to your muscles like you've never felt before. As an endurance supplement, Carbolin has been proven to increase VO2 max by 2.8%. If you want fast absorption and sustained energy without bloating or cramping, get Carbolin. Go to AAEFX.com today.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking with Dr. Stephanie Senna. We're talking about cholesterol sulfate and its linkage to heart disease. So, my next line of questions, Dr. Senef, we're going to be, how do we improve sulfate availability? And my news director, Alex Leaf, who's listening to the show live, he said, ask about garlic. Garlic's main mechanism involves a molecule called allicin.
That's right. Garlic has a very interesting sulfur-containing molecule that I think is its key health benefit. And we eat lots of garlic here. My husband and I eat lots of garlic. Onion is also good, but garlic has this what's called sulfane sulfur, which is really super. And it's been shown that the red blood cells will actually take up that sulfur from the garlic directly from the blood. And I think they use it then to make the sulfate. And I wanted to say a little bit more about the plaque because we didn't quite finish that.
Go ahead, please. Go back to that.
Yeah, because is really interesting because you're basically that cholesterol is piling up there with the fat. You need the fat to be able to store the cholesterol in those plaque regions. And there, you need to have the perfect conditions to be able to make sulfate there. And one of those conditions is inflammation. So the problem is because you didn't get enough sunlight, you've got this major sulfate deficiency. Now you need to expose yourself to inflammation. Of course, inflammation is behind all these diseases, you know. And the inflammation is going to allow your body to make sulfate on the spot in the artery wall from homocysteine. Elevated homocysteine is a risk factor for heart disease that's stronger than the risk factor of LDL, of serum cholesterol.
Right.
And you need the homocysteine is also waiting in the wing. So all of them are waiting in the wing for the opportunity to make sulfate, which requires, you know, a lot of things. One of them is superoxide, which is this inflammatory agent, which is very toxic. And the body doesn't want to expose the tissues to superoxide, but it has no choice because, again, you didn't get enough through the normal method, which you should have been getting from the sunlight. So it, really you're paying a huge price with inflammation in the artery wall, which does damage to the artery wall, causes these leaks, causes this these blood clots and all that kind of stuff, you know, that really gets you into a very nasty cascade. And I think the blockage itself is actually not nearly as dangerous as the whole issue of the unstable blood. It's the unstable blood that actually provokes the heart attack. This issue of the blood being so fragile because there's not enough sulfate, and you're caught between a rock and a hard place trying to fight against either thrombosis or hemorrhaging, which are kind of opposite extremes.
Mm-hmm.
The blood really is fancy stuff, and it needs to have so many things right in terms of its, you know, all these things that are solutes that are in the blood that make it work well. And part of that is this negative charge that's maintained by this cholesterol sulfate. So so the plaque is waiting there to become cholesterol sulfate, and it needs the sulfate to do that. So it needs to have a source of sulfur, which could be homocysteine or cysteine, or even hydrogen sulfide gas, and it needs to have the superoxide in order to oxidize the sulfur, and it also needs to have a couple of vitamins, vitamin A, vitamin C. So all this stuff needs to be there in order to be able to make the sulfate. It's much, much... It's a backup mechanism to make sulfate that the body really doesn't want to use. It would much rather be making the sulfate the natural way from the sunlight. But when that's not working, because you're slobbering yourself with sunscreen or you're avoiding the sun,
mm-hmm.
Then you're going to have the heart disease instead. And then the immediately that cholesterol sulfate is sent into the heart because that's that, you know, that plaque is piling up to help that very crucial organ stay healthy. And then the red blood cells are actually handing off the cholesterol sulfate to the tissues in the heart, to the heart muscle, to keep it healthy. And when it doesn't have enough cholesterol sulfate, all kinds of things fall apart, and you end up with valve problems, you end up with arrhythmias, you end up with heart failure, you know, all these bad things that are not a heart attack. There are other ways the heart can fail. And you get a sudden cardiac arrest, you know, you get all these things because of this lack of sulfate.
Okay, so is it enough to start taking sulfur-donating donor type supplements like N-acetylcysteine or
yes, I mean that's I mean there's a
what
bunch
about
of
what about
that can
what
take.
About MSM
MSM yeah MSM
DMSO DMSO
yeah well DMSO yeah I mean that one of course is a little bit maybe has some regulatory issues but I would think that would be okay. There's also L-lipoic acid, there's also chondroitin sulfate, glucosamine sulfate. In fact, there was an article written in the 1960s. Showing chondroitin sulfate was helpful for heart disease. You know, this information has been lost. I should actually mention that we found materials from the 1960s, very, very interesting, supporting our theory. For example, there was a study on monkeys that was done in the 1960s, and they found that they could feed them cholesterol. Monkeys don't eat usually cholesterol, but they feed them cholesterol and they give them heart disease from that. But if they also fed them sulfur-containing nutrients, they didn't get the heart disease.
Interesting.
So they knew back then. Something about sulfur, you know, is causing this heart disease.
Could it be something as simple as the fact that when we look back through evolution, there are certain things that were building blocks of our body? We know carbon was one of them. We know sulfur was one as well.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, sulfur is so overlooked, I feel. You know, you have all these papers about nitrogen and about carbon. I mean, you know, the whole management of these crucial molecules. There's the carbon, the nitrogen, and the sulfur, and the phosphorus, of course. Those four, you know, those are the things you think about with the soil when you're trying to grow plants.
Right.
But the sulfur is often overlooked. I mean, I don't understand why. We seem to be in some kind of a black hole with respect to sulfur.
Maybe it smells too much.
Yeah, I mean, it's just so, so important. It's really amazing to me that...
So do you think that... another thing that Alex Leaf pointed out was that that the allicin in garlic seems to lower LDL and raise HDL, and it
yes,
also...
that makes complete sense, because here's what's happening is the plaque is dumping the cholesterol sulfate that it makes into HDL. It's very clear that's the case. You can see that from the papers. And it needs the sulfate in order to be able to do that. I mean, the sulfate gets the cholesterol past the liquid barrier, because there's cholesterol is not water-soluble. And that's the beautiful thing about the sulfate, is it makes it water-soluble. So then it can kind of hop across barriers and get into other membranes. So the cell can just send it out, send the cholesterol out to the HDL particle, which is waiting there to receive it, if it's got sulfate. With no sulfate, it can't get it there, you know? So that's the barrier. There's no sulfate.
You know, it sounds to me like if someone wanted to produce a multi-pronged therapy to reduce the buildup of plaque, it would be, first of all, adequate therapeutic intake of a variety of different sulfur donor type supplements and even foods.
Yeah, definitely foods. I mean, I eat a lot of sulfur containing foods. I really work at it.
Followed by sun exposure.
Yeah.
And obviously vitamin A, vitamin C.
That's right.
And possibly.
And then the other thing is organic diet. And I think I may have talked to you before on the
yes.
show. I'm not sure about that.
Yes, glyphosate.
It's really important, actually, because this poison that's in the food, which I talk about extensively, glyphosate, that's Roundup, that's all over the processed food right now. And it's really devastating. I think it's a key factor behind heart disease as well as many other diseases that we're
facing. Gut disorders, all the gut disorders in the United States. You know what's really interesting? I don't know if you were the one who told me this or someone else told me this, but they spray glyphosate. I think you told me that they spray glyphosate on wheat to synchronize
yes.
the crop. So they spray it right before they harvest it.
Yes.
I mean, wheat products are loaded with glyphosate.
I think it's the reason for celiac disease epidemic.
Yes.
Absolutely.
I just talked about this just Friday. On Friday's show, I said, you know, it may not be the gluten. It may be the combination of the glyphosate destroys the microbes in the gut that cause barrier and digestion
exactly.
of gluten, and the gluten is leaking into the bloodstream.
You got it. You got it. It's so simple, really, right?
I mean, it seems simple, but obviously you can't get people to pay attention to this stuff. It's almost like if something is too simple, they go, well, that can't be it.
But then the other really, really horrible thing about glyphosate is that it disrupts cytochrome P450 enzymes, and I've talked about that a lot in previous talks. A study on rats showed very clearly glyphosate was a major problem for the CYP enzymes, and those enzymes are incredibly important in the liver, for example, for detoxifying other environmental toxins. But Enos itself, the molecule that makes the sulfate, is also a CYP enzyme. So my suspicion is that glyphosate is disrupting the red blood cell's ability to make sulfate. And there's also a problem with melanin, for example. The tanning agent is derived from a protein, which is a product of the shikimate pathway, which is the pathway the glyphosate disrupts. So you've mm-hmm. got many, many different problems. Tryptophan is really important tyrosine makes melatonin, but tryptophan is also important, those two. Aromatic amino acids, which come from the pathway the glyphosate disrupts. It disrupts it in the plants. It disrupts it in the microbes. And we depend on the microbes to produce those molecules for us. So we don't have enough tryptophan or enough tyrosine. We're going to be in trouble with tanning, and we're going to be in trouble with sun. So I think one thing that's happening is that the glyphosate is making us much more sensitive to
skin cancers.
The sun's rays, because we don't have those molecules available to protect ourselves from
that. And that's where I have a fellow who contacted me this morning. He's actually a legend within the bodybuilding community. I can't say his name because no one knows this, but he has advanced melanoma.
Wow.
And you know
yeah.
what? I mean, we see melanoma it's on the rise. And
It is. It's on the rise exactly in step with the increased use of sunscreen, which is extremely ironic. And I actually think the sunscreen is causing the melanoma.
Yeah. I think that, you know what? The problem with pointing at one thing is that there's so much going on. We are in a soup.
Yes.
of toxins today. It's just unbelievable. Let's do this. Let's take our last commercial break. We'll be right back with more of Dr. Stephanie Senna.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at livonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's livonlabs.com, livonlabs.com.
At Superior Hardcore Peptides, we pride ourselves on accurately dosed, high-quality peptides and research chemicals made in the USA. With all the options out there, we dedicated ourselves to providing the best service and the best products for your research. Click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com today and use the discount code SHR and get 20% off our already competitive prices. If you're going to do research, do it with the best Superior Hardcore Peptides. New from the makers of Mass Pro Synthogen, Progenidrex is finally available to everyone. Refined for years in elite athletes, it's the absolute pinnacle of products specifically designed to accelerate drug-free muscle growth without hormones. Using Progenidrex as directed results in dramatic increases in muscle size, pumps, and recovery from heavy training. Won't disrupt endocrine function and no need to cycle off. Visit PredatorNutrition.com and Fusion Supplements for the absolute last word in non-hormonal anabolics. Progenidrex.
Ever feel like you want something crunchy? From the company that gave us the Quest Protein Bar, now comes the Quest High Protein Potato Chips. With 21 grams of high quality protein and only 5 grams of carbs and no artificial ingredients. Just like Quest bars, you'll feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest High Protein Potato Chip banner ad today and get ready to be satisfied. Thanks to Quest Nutrition, chips just aren't what they used to be.
In today's day and age, it's refreshing to find a company with values that match yours. And it's even more extraordinary when the products they make exceed your expectation in every way. That's what Michael's Naturopathic Programs has done for over 30 years. With more than 50 tried and truthful high-potency formulas, Michael's Naturopathic Programs give your body what it needs. No more guessing what herb or vitamin, amino acid, or mineral you need. With Michael's, it's all in one bottle. From cardiovascular support to weight management to nervous system support to detox and cleansing and more, Michael's Naturopathic Programs work. They have to. Michael himself has been giving it to his own family from the very start. You can find Michael's product at your local health food store or go to michaelshealth.com and get your tried and truthful formulation. That's Michael's Health.
If you want to outlast, outmuscle, and outperform your competition with a high-powered, stimulant-free carbohydrate source that has zero sugars, you want Carbolin. Carbolin is the original high-performance fuel that will allow you to load your muscles with glycogen in minutes instead of hours. As a pre, intra, and post-training supplement, it will give you a hardness and fullness to your muscles like you've never felt before. As an endurance supplement, Carbolin has been proven to increase VO2 max by 2.8%. If you want fast absorption and sustained energy without bloating or cramping, get Carbolin. Go to AAEFX.com today.
The health and performance benefits of phytonutrients are indisputable, but getting all of your phytonutrients from your diet is difficult. That's why Prime Nutrition introduced Phytoform. Phytoform has nearly 11 grams of all the micronized veggies, fruits, fiber, minerals, and antioxidants you need. Alfalfa, organic spirulina, and chlorella, plus acai, pomegranate, goji, bilberry, blueberry, raspberry, cranberry, and papaya. Cabbage, spinach, broccoli, beet, the list goes on and on. You won't find a better, more complete fruits and greens blend anywhere. It even includes PQQ, which has been shown to improve mitochondrial biogenesis. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Prime Nutrition banner ad today and use coupon code SHR to save 30% off. Prime Nutrition, the best or nothing.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. Don't hate us because we feel good.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking with Dr. Stephanie Seneff about the linkage between sulfate, cholesterol sulfate deficiency, and atherosclerosis. So, could you give us an idea of what your favorite sulfur forming or sulfur based foods are?
Garlic is right up there. But actually, seafood is a really good source, and eggs, so organic eggs. Are a wonderful source of sulfur, actually, especially the yolk. I mean, we eat lots of eggs. I think eggs are a really nutritious food. And, of course, first thing they'll tell you when you've got heart disease issues, they'll say lay off the eggs, you know, because they have cholesterol in them. And actually, my husband eats a diet that's very rich in cholesterol. And his doctor is sort of puzzled by that, but he's doing, as I said, fantastically well. His doctor's very surprised at how well he's doing after, you know, 8 years of not taking statins. I think his doctor probably thought he'd have one foot in the grave by now, but he's doing, you know, and he hikes up mountains. I mean, he's very sturdy and strong. I see all these old people, you know, hobbled over with their statin drugs. I just feel like you go to the airport now and you see all these wheelchairs lined up to pick up the... It's really scary, and you see these people hobbling, or else they're in, you know, they're being wheeled to the gate because they can't walk. It's really scary. I think we're going to have a huge crisis with all these elderly on who either have Alzheimer's disease or are very physically frail or both. You know, it's just going to be such a burden on our society, which is being caused by the combination of the glyphosate, which is poisoning us, and then the statin drugs, which is making everything worse.
You know, I have a good friend whose father is a renowned surgeon. Who started taking statin drugs 20 years ago, he didn't even have a cholesterol issue, but because he's part of the medical orthodoxy and was told that this will protect you from ever having a heart attack, and now he has dementia.
Right, there you go. I mean, it's one example, but, you know, I feel like it's very clear to me. By the way, I wanted to talk about PCSK9 inhibitors. I don't
Please.
Know if you've heard of those.
No, what are they?
Yeah, it's something new coming down the pipe, and they're about to, I think the FDA is about to approve them, which is really scary because they have never been shown to actually help anything. They've just been shown to knock your LDL way down. It was amazing. I read an article recently where, you know, again, a doctor was one of the guinea pigs who took this PCSK9, and he was so pleased that he'd gotten his LDL down to 14. 14 is like the lowest I've ever heard of for LDL.
That's got to be, you know? That can't be healthy.
It's got to be horrible. And he was so proud, you know, with this PCSK9. So now what they're doing is anybody who can't get their LDL down to some miserably low number on statins alone, they say, well, here, you can take this PCSK9 inhibitor on top of your statin. Very, very interesting. I've studied PCSK9. It's a really interesting molecule. It actually, I can explain it pretty simply. In the liver, it's in the liver. And what it does is it ties up the LDL receptors. So imagine the LDL receptors are the doormen that are going to go to the door and usher the LDL back home. So what happens is the LDL goes out, delivers all of its goods, comes back sort of scraggly and beat up. You know, it's been oxidized, it's been it's got sugar coatings, it's in trouble, right?
Right.
And then the liver takes it back in and then breaks it down and then carefully keeps the cholesterol and uses it to make freshly minted, healthy LDL particles that can then go out and do it again, you know?
Right.
So the liver is basically using these particles to distribute cholesterol to and also fat-soluble vitamins
and
to all the
And it refurbishes the LDL, basically, and sends it back out.
Right. It just takes like a broken-down one and turns it into a good one. Well, it can't get it back in if this PCSK9 is tying up the receptors. And the way you keep PCSK9 from tying up the receptors is to give it sulfate. That's what's so interesting. PCSK9 will bind to sulfate in the liver, and when it does that, it says, okay, great, receptor, go ahead, bring in that new LDL, we're good to go. Because the job of this PCSK9 is to make sure the liver doesn't take in so much cholesterol it can't handle it, because it doesn't have enough sulfate to be able to send out healthy new LDL particles, because it needs to put that cholesterol sulfate around those particles to keep them safe. Otherwise, they're going to be attacked by sugar, they're going to be attacked by oxygen, and they're going to be in bad shape. They won't even be able to deliver their goods. You know, and then they have to deliver more slowly. And then when they're finished, they're so wrecked that the liver won't take them back. And that's when they have to go into the plaque. You know, and the plaque takes them and carefully separates them out and keeps, you know, is able to restore the cholesterol and then put it out into the HDL if there's sulfate to be had. Everything depends on the sulfate.
This is unbelievable. I just got a private message on Facebook from somebody who said, please don't use my name. My LDL is 48. I exercise a lot. I eat a lot of garlic. My HDL is 76. Ask Dr. Seneff, am I at risk of dying? My total cholesterol is 132 and triglycerides are 32.
Wow.
That's pretty low, isn't it?
I would like to know if they're on a statin. You know, if they're not on a statin and it's that low, I'm surprised.
They're typing. Hold on. This is the beauty of Facebook. Isn't this great?
Yeah.
Interactive radio.
That's cool.
I'm not on a statin. I'm in my 20s. Oh, man.
Oh, wow. That is amazing. I would be worried. I would be worried.
So what could you do? What could you do to raise your... I mean, obviously his liver is doing something that isn't necessarily the best.
I know. That puzzles me. You know, it's the opposite of what I would expect in today's world because, you know, the LDL is going up, I think, because of glyphosate. Glyphosate's really doing a train wreck on the liver. And this is forcing the liver to have to... raise the LDL. Actually, it's interesting because the average LDL in the country is going up over time in step with the increased use of glyphosate on corn and soy crops. It's one of those things that correlates, which is very interesting. So that, you know, someone having very low LDL is surprising. to me. I mean, there may be some kind of biological background that makes that happen.
He's only 7% body fat, he just said, too.
If it's done naturally, I don't worry nearly as much. I mean, if you've got a low LDL and you're on statins, I worry. But
no, he's not on anything. He's an athlete, and he's got 7% body fat. I wonder if the low body fat is doing something.
That's definitely part of it. I suspect that's true. His body fat is too low. It could mean that he's having trouble maintaining enough cholesterol for his tissues, though.
So couldn't he just eat more eggs?
Definitely eat more eggs for sure. I mean, if I were he, I would go on a very high cholesterol diet just to make sure your body's getting enough because and maybe he is, and maybe that's why. Because actually, when my husband went on a high cholesterol diet, his LDL went down.
Yeah, because your body clears it. Your body doesn't save things that it doesn't need.
No, that's right.
Yeah.
It makes total sense. But of course, people all think I can't eat cholesterol because I have high cholesterol. And you see these people struggling to avoid cholesterol, and their cholesterol is through the roof. And if they would just eat the cholesterol, their cholesterol would go down. But they don't get that. It just doesn't make sense to them. It's because the food is supplying the cholesterol to the tissues directly through this chylomicron, which comes in through the gut, goes straight to the heart, by the way. It's really interesting. When you eat dietary cholesterol, it's packaged up in this particle that's sent through the lymph system, not through the blood, directly from the gut to the heart. The first place it enters the bloodstream is right at the veins that are going feeding back into the heart. So what this is saying is the body has set up a system whereby when you get dietary cholesterol, the first organ that gets first dibs on it is the heart. And that tells you something about how much the body wants the heart to have cholesterol,
You know what? He's listening. He said, I eat dairy and eggs. I eat about 900 milligrams of cholesterol a day. I just messaged him back as, how many eggs a day do you eat? He said three. I personally...
He's got it. That's the answer.
Listen, first of all, I eat between 8 and 12 eggs a day, number one, and I eat at least half of those are raw first thing in the morning.
Yeah, that's
I have a feeling that the denature. I just have this feeling that the cholesterol
is
better
than
raw egg.
Yeah, no, you're right. Absolutely. I try to. I mean, I don't like raw egg. I haven't gotten used to eating. It's hard. Yeah, it's a developed taste, I suppose. But I think it's really good if you can eat raw egg. I suspect it's really, really healthy.
Yeah.
I eat it sort of lightly cooked. I try to keep it still runny, but.
Yeah, just have more eggs. That's what I would say to you.
Eggs are wonderful, and they're not that expensive. Organic eggs. Make sure you eat healthy eggs.
Yeah, he does. He eats all organic. He has a farmer. He does business with it.
So he may just have naturally low LDL because his body doesn't need it, because he's supplying sufficient through his diet and whatnot.
Very, very true. Listen, Dr. Senef, it's always so fun to have you on the show. And I applaud you. I always say this to you. You're a champion for those of us who want to remain superhuman, because you are talking about very, very good information that is not being censored by the medical orthodoxy. And that makes you not popular. But I've said on this show for years now that the new evolutionary selection pressure is where you get your information from.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the truth. And so this is great information. And I am going to start spending more time in the sun.
Good
and I'm going to make sure that I increase my garlic consumption and other sulfur-carrying donors. I am.
Right.
So that's it. That's great stuff. Listen, thanks for being on the show today.
Thank you.
Talk to you soon.
My pleasure.
Okay. All right, so there you have it. Great show. We have to thank our title sponsor who helps make this all free. That's All American Pharmaceuticals and their product line, All American EFX Sports. Also want to thank, let's see, who are our other guests today? I accidentally called one a doctor when she wasn't. Gustavo Porpino, Karen Wieman Josephson, and, of course, Dr. Stephanie Senna for being on Superhuman Radio today. It's Monday. We've got more shows tomorrow and Wednesday, so see you then.